This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Was salatu was salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Rabbishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma ihdi qalbi wa saddid lisani wasrul sakhimata qalbi amin ya rabbal alamin. Inshallah, in today's class we are going to look at the name of Allah, the beautiful name of Allah, Ad-Dayyan. And the name Ad-Dayyan is a name which a lot of people are not familiar with, and I'm sure that many of you have not even heard of this name Ad-Dayyan. And the name Ad-Dayyan, which can be translated as the giver of recompense, this name, yes, it does not occur in the Quran. It is mentioned in the Sunnah, but the meaning of this name is definitely something that is mentioned in the Quran over and over again in different ways. So in Hadith, we learn that on the Day of Judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the Day of Judgment, يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that people will be assembled, they will be gathered on the Day of Judgment. And how will they be gathered? What will their condition be? They will be uratan, ghurlan, buhman. They will be unclothed, uncircumcised, and barefooted, meaning they will have absolutely nothing with them. And then, summa yunadihim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call out to them that ana al-malik, I am the king, ana ad-dayyan, I am the giver of recompense. So imagine what the state of people will be at that time. We will have nothing to shelter ourselves with, nothing to hide ourselves with, nowhere to escape to, no place to hide in. That is the day when we face al-malik ad-dayyan, the king, the giver of recompense. In another hadith, we learn about Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, that he heard that there was a man who had heard something from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Jabir radiallahu anhu wanted to hear that narration directly from him. So he said that I bought a camel and then I went on my journey in order to meet this person. And who was this person? This person was Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu anhu. And when he met him, he asked him that I have heard that you have narrated something from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding qisas, regarding retribution. So I was afraid that I'm going to die or you're going to die before I hear it from you. So please, I have come all of this way in order to hear that narration directly from you. So Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, that people will be gathered on the Day of Judgment. أَوْ قَالَ الْعِبَادُ, or he said that the slaves of Allah will be gathered on the Day of Judgment, how uratan ghurlan buhman, that they will be unclothed, uncircumcised, and barefoot. They will have nothing with them. So the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what is buhman? What exactly does this word buhman mean? And he said, laysa ma'ahum shay'un, they will have nothing with them. People will come on the Day of Judgment empty handed. Yani, if you think about it, anywhere that we go to, we want to make sure that we have, you know, certain things with us. Even if we're not carrying a bag or a purse, we make sure that we have something in our pocket, even if it is just a little bit of money. right? Or some kind of, phone maybe, or something through which we can fulfill our needs and, you know, protect ourselves from any potential danger. We carry hand sanitizer with us. We carry, you know, some snacks with us. Different people carry different things. But on the day of judgment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa ma'ahum shay'un." People will have nothing with them. He said, "Summa yunadihim bi sawtin yasma'uhu man ba'uda kama yasma'uhu man qaruba." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call out to people, and every single person will hear that announcement, whether that person is far or near, because in that huge crowd, of course, some people will be towards the front, some people will be towards the back. So regardless of where a person is, every single person will hear this announcement. And what is this declaration? What is this announcement? It is, "Ana al-Malik, ana al-Dayyan." I am the king, I am the giver of recompense. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that it is not possible for any person from the inhabitants of the fire to enter the fire while he owes something to one of the people of Jannah, until what he owes is given to him. Yani, a person will not be sent to hell when he's in a condition where he owes something, he has to give something, he has a debt that is owed to who? One of the inhabitants of paradise. So a person will not go to his final destination until justice is met. And then, وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, same thing, that it is not possible for any person from among the inhabitants of paradise to enter paradise while he owes something to one of the people of hell, until it is returned to him, it is given to him in full. And so the companions, they were really afraid when they heard this, and they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that how will that be when we will come on the day of judgment empty-handed, when we will come on the day of judgment buhman. You know, if we owe someone, for example, some money, we owe someone something that we said we would give them, on the day of judgment we will not have it with us. So how exactly are we going to give it to them? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bil hasanati was sayyi'at," through good deeds and through bad deeds. Meaning, on the day of judgment, all of these disputes, all of these matters, all of these records will be settled. How? Through the exchange of good deeds and the exchange of bad deeds. Meaning, a person will have to give some of his good deeds to the person whom he owes something. And if he doesn't have any good deeds left, he will take on their sins. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So from this hadith, we not only learn about the name of Allah, Ad-Dayyan, but we also learn about its meaning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will give full recompense. He will establish full and complete justice. So no person will be owed something such that what he deserves is ignored or left out, or that he is not given what he deserves. Every person will be given every person will be given in full what they deserve. Now, when we look at the name Ad-Dayyan and we look at the linguistic meaning of this word, we see that the word Dayyan is basically from the word Dana Yadinu. And Dana Yadinu has many different meanings in the Arabic language. In fact, we see that some of the meanings are not contradictory, but opposing. All right, and this is a characteristic of some of the words within the Arabic language, that certain words give completely opposite meanings depending on what context they're being used in. So we see that the word Dana Yadinu is actually one of those words where we have completely different meanings depending on what context it is being used in. So we see that on the one hand, the word Dana Yadinu means to become obedient, but it also means to exercise one's authority over someone and make them obedient. So it is to be obedient and also to make someone else obedient. It means to become abased and submissive, and also to make someone else submissive. All right. So, for example, it is said, "Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu." The intelligent person is the one who overcomes himself. So dana yadinu also means to overcome, to become submissive, and also to overcome. Then it also means to adopt a religion or to legislate a law or a religion. It also means to incur a debt, and its opposite, to repay or compensate, recompense someone for what they have done, or give them what they deserve. So with these meanings in mind, the word dayan is one who does a lot of dana yadinu. Right, there is mubalagha over here, there is repetition of action, and there is also not just in the sense of repetition, but also greatness. So there is a lot of dana yadinu going on. So the yan is understood as first of all qahar, meaning subduer. So the yan is someone whom people have submitted and surrendered to. Likewise, the word the yan is also used for a hakim, right? A judge, a ruler, or a malik, a king, someone who rules over people, someone who manages their affairs, someone who decides, who gives rulings to them. And likewise, the word dayan is also used for al-mutar, meaning the one who is obeyed. Because a king, a ruler, is supposed to be obeyed. The one who is a subduer of others makes them obey him. And then the word dayan is also used for the one who holds others accountable, al-muhasib. And finally, it also means al-mujazi, meaning the one who gives recompense. So with these meanings in mind, when we're talking about the name of Allah Ad-Dayyan, then what does that mean? First of all, we see that the name Ad-Dayyan means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides what the deen should be, what the religion, what the law should be. So he is the legislator, he is Ad-Dayyan, meaning he is the one who yushar'ir the deen. He is the one who decides what the deen should be, which is why we see that from the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets. And through them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveyed to humanity what law they should observe, what religion they should live by. And this is not just, in our Sharia that we have been taught how to, perform different rituals, how to worship, how to offer sacrifice, how to pray, how to fast, how to, perform the pilgrimage and, laws related to cleanliness, etc. This is not something new. This is something that has always been there. We see that to Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a very clear Sharia. Right. So for the Bani Israel, they were taught very clearly as to what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it. And even before Musa alayhi salam, and to every prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed what the law should be. And to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his final law for humanity. Which is why we learn in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 83, that أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ. Do they seek a religion other than that of Allah? A religion that is not from Allah, is that what they're seeking? Is that what they want? A religion that is not from Allah? A religion that is man-made? Or that, people have fabricated? Is that what they're seeking? Meaning they're making a huge mistake. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, He is the one who made us. To Him is our return. Then that means that right now we have to do what He has commanded us to do. We have to follow the law that He has legislated. So in Surah Ali Imran verse 85, it is said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. That whoever adopts a religion that is other than Islam, then that religion will never be accepted from him. No matter how much a person likes it, no matter how strongly he adheres to it, no matter how, you know, strongly a person believes in it, that religion on the Day of Judgment will never ever be accepted. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ And such a person will be of the losers on the Day of Judgment. You see, this is a very simple concept that, you know, when you, you know, for example, when you're studying somewhere, right, you're given certain, you know, instructions. So for example, when you have to submit an essay, right, you don't just write whatever you want, however you want, and you submit whenever you want. No, there is a certain, you know, set of rules that you have to follow, right? So for example, you have to stay within the word limit. You have to follow the proper citation procedure. You have to cite properly, right? And if you don't cite properly and you say that, no, as long as I've given the references, well, it's not going to be accepted because there is a due process. There is a proper process that you have to follow. And just because you don't know it, it doesn't mean that you don't have to follow it. No, you have to learn it. You have to practice it. You can ask about it, but you have to follow the rules. And if you don't follow the rules, no matter how passionately you have put something together, no matter how much effort you put into putting that thesis together, that essay together, no matter how many hours you spent, you know, studying, researching, but if you did not follow all the instructions, then too bad, it's not going to be accepted, right? And you're not going to get full marks. So similarly, and this is a very basic example, but similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created this world, He is the one who has created people. He is the one who sent us here. He is the one that we have to return to. Then this means that right now, we have to follow His rules. We have to follow His laws. We can't live our lives pretending that there is no law that Allah revealed. And if we live like that, then on the Day of Judgment, may Allah protect us, there will be great humiliation and great loss. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ So Allah Ad-Dayyan, He has the right to tell us what deen we should follow, what religion we should follow. And this is a very important concept for us to remember because, you know, as we learn about, you know, different people and their way of thinking and, you know, their principles, yes, you know, we can appreciate the good in their systems, but we should never give those systems preference over the religion of Allah. We should always believe that the religion of Allah, the law of Allah is the best law. It is the truth with a capital T. It is the truth. And everything else, yes, it may be good. It may have some good in it. It may be interesting. It may be effective in certain places, certain ways. All right. However, it is not the truth with a capital T. And this is, you know, something that we need to remember, not just when we are, you know, studying different religions, but even different, you know, concepts, whether it is, you know, feminism, liberalism, Marxism, any ism that we are, you know, coming across, we should, yes, we can appreciate certain things in it. However, we can never treat it as the absolute truth. The absolute truth is what? It is the deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. So we will be loyal to that. We will believe that to be the best. And where anything contradicts the law of Allah, we will give preference to the law of Allah, you know, over everything else. And this will be in terms of our belief and also in terms of our actions. So this is the first meaning of the name Ad-Dayyan. The second meaning of the name Ad-Dayyan is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the subduer. He is Al-Qahhar. Meaning that in the world, yes, all have surrendered to Him. And on the Day of Judgment, He will subdue all those who refused His deen. So in the world, yes, everyone has surrendered to Him. You know, whether we like it or not, our bodies are in complete compliance with the will of Allah. Our circumstances are also under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, right? So, he is al-qahhar. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that our bodies should fall ill, then that's it. We're done, right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides, al-qahhar decides that, you know, we should die, then that's it. Our life is over, right? If Allah decides that something, painful should reach us, then that's it. We have no option over there. We cannot resist, right? So Allah is al-qahhar, al-dayyan, meaning He is al-qahhar. So in the world, everything has surrendered to Him. It is submissive to Him. But, you know, the free will that Allah has given to people, so those people who use that free will to refuse the deen of Allah, then on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-qahhar, will subdue them. Al-dayyan will subdue them. So in Surah Al-Fatiha, we learn He is Maliki Yawm al-Din. He is the master of the day of recompense. Meaning on that day, He will give recompense to people. And on that day, all will be subdued before Him. No one will be able to escape. No one will be able to, you know, run away and escape the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jal. In Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 116, we learn, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. The people say, meaning some people say, that Allah has taken a child. Subhanahu, glory be to Him. Ballahu ma fis samawati wal ard. Rather, the fact is that whatever that is in the skies and the earth belongs to Allah. Kullu lahu qanitun. All are submissive to Allah. In Surah Maryam, verse 93, we learn, In kullu man fis samawati wal ard illa atir rahmani abda. There is no one in the skies or the earth except that he will come to Ar-Rahman as a slave. Meaning all are submissive to Allah now. And those who refuse, those who try to avoid and escape the will of Allah, the command of Allah, then such people will be brought on the day of judgment and they will not be able to escape. For Allah will subdue them on the day of judgment. We learn in Surah Al-Hajj that verse number 18, that Alam tara anna Allah yasjudu lahu man fis samawati wa man fil ard. Do you not see that everyone who is in the skies and the earth makes sajda to Allah? It prostrates to Allah. Wal qamar wa shamsu wal qamar wal nujum wal jibal wal shajar wal dawab wa kathirun minan nas. And the sun and the moon and the stars and the mountains and the trees and the animals and many among the people. Meaning, yes, not all people, but many among the people. They're all in prostration to Allah, meaning they worship Allah. They submit to Allah. They follow His command. And those who refuse it, then on the day of judgment, they will be subdued. Then thirdly, the name of Allah Ad-Dayyan also means the ruler. Meaning, it is Allah Azza wa Jal whose judgment prevails. So it is said, who is the Dayyan of this land? Meaning, who is the ruler of this land? Who is the Hakim? So this means that every hukum, every command, every order, every instruction from a dayyan, then what is that? It is a deen. We have to follow it. Because Allah, when He is the judge, right? When He is the one who decides, then what is our place? Our place is of obedience. Whether we like it or we don't, whether we find it easy or we find it hard. When Allah, a dayyan, decides something, then our place is to follow and obey. We learn in Surah Yusuf, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, that judgment belongs exclusively to Allah. It is His right to judge and decide. So we cannot, you know, live our lives as though, we don't know or we don't care about the command of Allah. Just as a person cannot, you know, live in a country pretending as though or living as though there are no laws. There is no system. There is no system of governance. And they ignore those rules. If they ignore those rules, of course there will be consequences, right? And, you know, a person cannot say, well, I didn't know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He is ad-dayyan, it also means that He is al-hakim. He is the judge. He is the ruler. And this means that in the world, his judgment prevails, and his judgment is what we should follow. And on the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will judge between people as well. He will judge between people. He will hold them accountable, and he will give to each person what they deserve. And he will establish perfect justice like that. So Maliki Yawm al-Din, he is the master of the day of judgment, right? Meaning he will judge on the day of judgment. And even if people deny this whole concept of recompense on the day of judgment or justice on the day of judgment, still, no matter how much people are in denial of this, the day of judgment is coming. It will happen. And that is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge between people. We learn in Surah An-Nur, ayah 25, يَوْمَ إِذٍ يُوَفِّيهِمُ اللَّهُ دِينَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. On that day, Allah will recompense them for their religion, right? In al-haq. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that dinahum means hisabahum. So it doesn't mean religion here, it means recompense. That on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give haq, true, just recompense to people, meaning he will give them exactly what they deserve. So Allah will not make a mistake, and he will not be unjust in how he holds people accountable. We see that in the world, a lot of people, when they go to court, they feel like, you know, the jury was not fair. The trial was not fair. The judge was biased, right? Or the witnesses that were, that came did not do justice, right? So in Surah Yasin, ayah 54, we learn, فَالْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. So today, no soul will be wronged at all. Yani no person will be wronged even a little bit, in the least even. There will be no injustice on that day. وَلَا تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And you will not be recompensed except for what you used to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Ad-Dayyan, He is Al-Hakim. He will judge between people, and He will not neglect any deed. No deed will be left out. So we learn in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 49, that وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. That the record of deeds will be set out, it will be displayed, right? And then the criminals will be afraid of what is inside of the record of deeds. And when they will look at it, they will say, oh, woe to us. What is with this book? It has not left out. It does not leave out anything small or anything big. Illa ahsaha, except that it has enumerated everything. Everything will be recorded in there. So how will there be any injustice? فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Whoever does even an atom's weight, the tiniest particle, that much good, he will see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And whoever does even a tiniest particle of evil, meaning that much, he will see it. So Allah Ad-Dayyan, He is the one who will judge between people with perfect justice, without any errors, without any mistake, and without any oppression. We learn in Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah 47, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that we will set up the scales of justice on the day of judgment. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا, so no soul will be wronged at all. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا, and if there is something that is equal to the weight of a habba, right, of a seed. Which kind of seed? Min khardal, of mustard. Yani a mustard seed amount of something, atayna biha, we will bring it forth. Wa kafa bina hasibin. And Allah is sufficient as one who calls people to account. And in the hadith that I mentioned at the beginning, we learned that basically on the Day of Judgment, Ad-Dayyan, Allah Azza wa Jal, will call people to account, and he will settle their accounts, right? He will settle their accounts as well. You see, there's two aspects of hisab. One aspect of hisab is that we will be answerable to Allah for what we have done in regard to our duty to him. How was our salah? How was our fasting? Right? Another aspect of hisab is our dealings with people. That did we treat them fairly? Were we unjust with them? Did we cheat them? Did we betray them? Right? So those accounts will also be settled. This is all part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's complete, absolute justice. And this is why we learn in a hadith about how a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Aisha radiallahu anha reported this, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have some slaves, and they work for me, but then they lie to me, and they, you know, they're not honest with me, and they disobey me. So when I get upset with them for what they have done, I beat them, right? I hit them, and I also verbally abuse them in order to discipline them, in order to punish them. Because they lie to me, they cheat me, and they disobey me." So the man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, so is this okay, basically, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the gist of which is that they're lying and their cheating and their disobedience towards you will be put on one side of the scale. And on the other side of the scale, your beating and your reviling and your, yelling at them will be put on the other side of the scale. And if they're equal, then you're fine. But if your punishment, meaning the way that you punished them, the way that you treated them, is more than what they deserved, then you will be punished. You will be punished then. You will be punished then because you were excessive in disciplining them and in beating them. So the man, he got really afraid, and he began crying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned that because on that day you will have nothing, right, to give them, to compensate them, so then their sins will be given to you, right? Their sins will be given to you, and your good deeds will be given to them. So the man was really afraid, and he began to cry. And in one of the narrations, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that have you not recited the book of Allah? That وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, that we will establish the scales of justice on the Day of Judgment, and no person will be wronged at all. And if there is something that is equal to a mustard seed, we will bring it forth. Have you not read that? Have you not heard that? And so the man, he said, he basically said that, oh Messenger of Allah, you be my witness that I have set them free. And that man realized that, perhaps he was being a little excessive in punishing his slaves, and so he just set them free. Now, this is something that should really make us think about our own situation as well, because sometimes we are, our words and efforts to discipline other people are way more than the wrong that they have done. So earlier we learned about the importance of being gentle and being kind and being forgiving. This is where that becomes extremely relevant. That no matter how angry we are, no matter how upset we are, no matter how hurt we are, let us not overdo it when it comes to punishing or disciplining. Let us take the course of forgiveness, and if that is not the only option. If we're going with the option of revenge, then let us be just. Let us be just and fair, and not overdo it in criticizing other people, in attacking them, in disciplining them. And another thing is that especially when you know, especially when it comes to the people who are closest to us, the people that we're living with or the people that we're working with, you know, even in the classroom, you know, it happens that, you know, people do things that are annoying or people say things which are hurtful. You know, let us be careful over there and not overdo, not be excessive in the way that we discipline others or in the way that we take revenge from others. This could even be with our own children. This could even be with our own siblings. This could be with our spouse. Don't be so strict with people that you're just waiting for them to make a mistake so that you can pounce at them and you can just, you know, destroy them. No, your revenge should be in proportion to the wrong that they have done. Not more than that, because if it's more than that, then you will be guilty on the day of judgment and you will be in in difficulty on the day of judgment. And on the day of judgment, sorry will not work. Saying sorry on that day is not going to work. What's going to work is if you give some of your good deeds to them. And if you don't have any left, they're going to hand over their sins to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that rights will certainly be restored to those entitled to them on the day of resurrection, to the point that even the hornless sheep will lay claim upon the horned one. Meaning if there's two sheep, one sheep had horns, the other did not, and the one with the horns, you know, gored the other sheep, right? So the other sheep, the one that did not have horns, was not able to defend itself. Justice will be established between those two as well. So if this is the case with animals, what do you think about humans? Because you see, sometimes people are, you know, the power dynamics are such that people are not on a, you know, on a leveled playing field, right? People don't have equal authority. So for example, as a parent, as a mother, when you're yelling at your child and when you're being abusive towards your child, then your child, because they're smaller, right? They are, you know, their position is, of course, less than yours. They're not able to, you know, defend themselves. They're not able to demand from you that you speak to them properly, that you treat them fairly. They're not able to do that. And sometimes, you know, in bigger issues, you know, where, for example, when it comes to the matter of inheritance, because we discussed inheritance last week, when it comes to the matter of inheritance, you know, some individuals in the family, because they have more power, more influence, more say, right? They take all of the wealth and they deprive certain relatives. So for example, a sister is not given anything. Why? Because the brother has taken everything. And when the brother is asked that, please, you know, give your sister her share, he will say things that, you know, you don't even want to hear, right? Or he will simply not answer. He will simply not listen. I mean, who are you supposed to ask then? So a lot of times in the world, because of the power that we have over other people, we end up abusing them. If not physically, then financially. If not financially, then verbally or emotionally. There are so many different forms of abuse. So on the day of judgment, rights will be restored to those entitled to them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a dayyan. So he will give people fully what they deserve. And this is why the name Ad-Dayyan is also understood as Al-Mujazi, right? Meaning he is the giver of recompense. So he will call people to account first, and he will also give people what they deserve. He will also give people what they deserve. So it is said, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. As you do is how you shall be recompensed. Meaning you will be recompensed exactly for what you used to do. So we learn about how on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Ar-Ra'd, ayah number 18, that لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمُ الْحُسْنَى. To those people who responded to their Lord will be al-husna, meaning for them will be husna. For them will be an excellent reward. And those people who did not respond to him, then even if they have whatever that is in the world and its equivalent with it to ransom themselves, they will not be able to. They would want to ransom themselves with everything in the world and its equivalent. However, that ransom will never be accepted. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ سُوءُ الْحِسَابِ. For them will be a very evil reckoning. وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. And their abode is hell. And what a terrible place of shelter it is. What a terrible abode it is. So, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ. And as a person lives, is how they shall be recompensed on the Day of Judgment. That is exactly what they will be given. So some people will be given their final, recompense as paradise, and others will be given hell. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Now, what are those deeds for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises Jannah? That for those people who perform those deeds, they will get Jannah. Because Allah is the giver of recompense. So when He will give recompense on the Day of Judgment, who will He give Jannah to as recompense? And who will He give Jahannam to as recompense? When it comes to Jannah, we learn in a hadith that whoever believes in Allah and His Messenger and establishes Salah and fasts in the month of Ramadan, then كان حقاً على الله أن يدخله الجنة. Then it is incumbent on Allah, it is a duty on Allah to admit such a person into paradise. So consistency in worship, right, especially salah, because man salla al-baradayni dakhala al-jannah, whoever performs the two cool prayers, meaning fajr and asr, then such a person will enter paradise. We also learn about silatul rahim, right, maintaining, joining ties with our relatives. Because a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that tell me about a deed which if I were to do it, it will draw me close to Jannah and it will distance me from the fire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should worship Allah and not associate anything with Him and establish the prayer and give the zakat and وَتَصِلُ ذَا رَحِمِكَ and join ties with your relative. Feeding people is also something for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises Jannah. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Messenger of Allah, which thing makes Jannah mandatory? Yujibul Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَلَيْكَ بِحُسْنِ الْكَلَامِ وَبَذْلِ الطَّعَامِ. That you must adhere to good speech and distributing food in people, meaning giving food to them to eat. And then we see that for other deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense people with hell. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Number one in those deeds is shirk, associating partners with Allah. Because إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever associates partners with Allah, then such a person, Allah has forbidden paradise for him. Likewise, abandoning salah, not praying at all. Because in Surah Al-Muddathir, ayah 42, we learn that the people of hell will be asked, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What caused you to enter this hell? What caused you to enter hell? This place that is filled with fire. What did you do that you ended up here? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. They will say, we were not of those people who pray. We were not of the worshippers. We didn't pray salah. Refusing zakat also. Deceiving people, right? And then speaking in a vulgar way. Speaking, in a harsh, vulgar, dirty way. Bad way to people. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-bada'u min al-jafa' wal-jafa'u fi an-nar." Vulgarity is a part of harshness, right? Jafa', like rudeness, like absolutely bad behavior, and this is something that is in the fire, meaning that will take its person to fire. Likewise, we learned that lying is from fujur, sin, and fujur yahdi ila an-nar. Fujur, sin, leads people to the fire. So Allah is ad-dayyan. Our deeds are not being ignored and forgotten. No, Allah is ad-dayyan. He will give full recompense on the Day of Judgment for what we are doing right now. So when this is the case, that Allah is ad-dayyan, what is it that we should do? What is our part? our part is first and foremost, we should prepare for the day that we have to meet a Dayan, and the day that we will be called to account, and that is the day of judgment. Because a Dayan, this is one of the names of Allah, right? And this name, yes, we see its manifestation right now, but on the day of judgment is when it will be fully manifested, right? That he is the only one whose judgment will prevail, who will decide and who will give recompense to people and who will have subdued everyone. So even the prophets of Allah will be afraid to speak on that day. Right? We learn in a long hadith about how people will go to Adam alayhi salam and they will say, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored you. He created you with his own hands. He put you into paradise. When you made a mistake, you know, Allah forgave you. Please, you ask Allah to begin the judgment. And Adam alayhi salam will refuse. He will say, I'm too afraid. People will go to Nuh alayhi salam. They will go to prophet after prophet. Right, they will request them, but every prophet, every messenger will refuse until people will go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he will begin to praise and glorify Allah azza wa jal, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that say what you have to. So this is known as shafa'atul kubra, right? The great intercession, and that is when the judgment will begin. After that, judgment will begin. So Allah, Ad-Dayyan, that day is a very serious day. That day is a day that we cannot avoid. So Allah tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 223, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ, fear Allah, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ, and you should know that you're going to meet Him. You are going to meet Allah, and Allah will hold you accountable, and He will repay you for what you are doing. What you are doing in regard to your duty to Allah, and what you're doing to the people around you, what you're doing to the world. Allah will hold you accountable. He will repay you. So wattaqullah. We're told that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said that al-birru la yabla, that a good deed does not wear out. A good deed does not become old in the sense that, that just because you gave charity 20 years ago, now, or at the beginning of your life on the day of judgment, it's not going to matter. No, a good deed does not wear out. It is still relevant. Wal ismu la yunsa, and a sin is not forgotten. Just because you committed a sin 20 years ago, it doesn't mean that it will be forgotten. No. Al-birru la yabla wal-ismu la yunsa wad-dayyanu la yanamu. And ad-dayyan does not sleep. Allah ad-dayyan does not sleep. Which means that no matter what time it is, no matter where you are, when you do something, when you say something, Allah knows about it. So He said, fakun kama shi'ta. So be whoever you want, or do as you want. Kama tadinu tudanu. What you do is how you will be recompensed, meaning you will be fully repaid for what you are doing. So do whatever you want, but remember that you will be repaid for what you are doing. The Prophet ﷺ warned us. He asked in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, we learned that he asked the people, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْمُفْلِسِ, do you know who the bankrupt is? The real bankrupt is. And they said that, a bankrupt person among us is someone who doesn't have any money left, right? He doesn't have any dirham, he doesn't have any assets, no matar, so he's not able to, pay off his loans. The Prophet ﷺ said that innal muflisa min ummati, the bankrupt person of my ummah is the person who will come on the day of judgment with a whole lot of salah and a whole lot of fasting and a whole lot of zakat. However, he will also come with certain other deeds. And what are those deeds? That he will have verbally abused someone. He will have accused another person. He will have consumed the wealth of another person unjustly. He will have shed the blood of another person. And he will have hit another person. Meaning he will come on the Day of Judgment, yes, with a whole lot of good deeds, but at the same time, a whole lot of abuses as well. A whole lot of abuses. And notice in the list that the Prophet ﷺ gave, there isn't just physical abuse. There is also verbal abuse. And a lot of times, a combination of verbal and physical abuse is used to emotionally abuse people. Right? So, he will come with all of these sins. So then, that this person will have to give his good deeds to different people. Which people? The people whom he abused, right? Because if there is someone that you hit, and on the Day of Judgment, because the records will be opened up, right? Every deed will be examined. It's not forgotten. It's still there. So how do you make up for that act of abuse, for that act of violence? Because justice is going to be established, right? Our injustices are going to be settled on that day. How's that going to happen? He will have to give some of his good deeds, some of his salah, some of his fasts. He will have to give some of his good deeds. And then he will run out because he will owe so many debts to so many people. He will run out of good deeds. And still there will be some people who deserve their share. So then what will happen? Their sins will be given to him. And then, ثُمَّ طُرِحَ فِي النَّارِ. Then that person will be thrown in hell. He will come with a whole lot of good deeds, but he will actually end up in hell. Why? Because he was not a good worshiper? He was. What was the problem then? He was unfair to people. He was abusive towards people. So let us remember this. And let us live consciously. Let us wake up and not be in ghafla, in heedlessness. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayah 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. That people's account is drawing near and they are turning away in heedlessness. And the thing is that with every moment that we live, we are actually drawing closer to our death. And death means the beginning of hisab, the beginning of being held accountable for our deeds. But how often do we remember our death? We don't. And we keep telling ourselves that, you know what? I'll be better later. Right? I'll mend my relationship. You know, for example, when we are abusive towards our children, our siblings, we comfort ourselves by saying, you know, when they're older, things will be good. I'll make up for it. What if you never get a chance? What if you don't get a chance to do that? Don't we hear stories about sudden deaths? Sudden deaths, right? And these days, subhanAllah, every other day, we hear about, you know, the deaths of so many people. That they were perfectly fine. One day, they fall ill, they end up at the hospital, and they're gone. Last night, I heard about a woman who was expecting, and she ended up at the hospital because of back pain. And they couldn't figure out what was happening. And she delivered her baby, and the baby died because it was a premature birth. And then they found out that she had cancer. And she died within 2 weeks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah forgive her. May Allah have mercy on her. May Allah have mercy on her family. And we hear these things, we don't know when we're going to die. اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ. People's hisab is drawing near. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. But they're in heedlessness, turning away, living life as if they're never going to die. Behaving as if they're never going to be held accountable. Living as if there is no recompense. As if we're never going to be questioned. We're never going to be asked about the way we talk, the way we behave. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ad-dayyan, we should also be afraid of Allah. We should be afraid of Allah's justice. And because of that, avoid oppression. We learn in a hadith, and this is a very serious hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that if a person reviled his slave, meaning it was very common at that time for people to say things like, you know, especially when it came to female slaves, they would say things like, you slut, right? And they would just accuse her of being a prostitute, of sleeping around with different people for money, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if anyone insults, accuses his slave when his slave is innocent, then on the day of judgment, he will be beaten. And he will be given the punishment of qadhaf, of false accusation, right? So this is something very serious, because these days on the internet, it is so common that a woman, just because she is dressed in a certain way, and yes, it is not appropriate to dress in certain ways, but her deeds are for her. When you give her labels like, you know, I don't even want to use these words, but when people use these kind of words to insult other people, then these are accusations. And on the day of judgment, there will be consequences. There will be a punishment for this. So be very careful of calling people derogatory words. It's so common, you know, for people to call others kafir and you know, other shameful, shameful words. So be very careful. Then when Allah is at Dayan, we should also not belittle any sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya Aisha, iyyaki wa muhaqqaratil a'mal. Beware of the belittled deeds, the deeds which are belittled. Meaning deeds, the sins which people think are not a big deal. Right? A little thing here, a little thing there. People don't think it's a big deal, but they're actually a big deal. Right? Because if you've ever been into a desert, or if you've seen images, you will see how there is a huge sand dune, right? But what is a sand dune made of? Is it made of big boulders? Is it made of huge rocks? No. A sand dune is made of fine particles of sand. And each particle, right, what is it? It's just something small, tiny, insignificant. You think it doesn't really matter. But you see, when so many accumulate in one place, you have a huge sand dune. And this is the reality of minor sins, or of the sins that people belittle, that they don't think much of, that they will accumulate for a person and they will become a huge, a big deal for a person on the day of judgment. So Allah is at Dayan, and we have to be very careful and not belittle sins. Every, you know, sin that we're committing, or any, you know, sometimes our problem is that we develop a bad habit of using mean words, right? Really rude expressions. And then we start using them without even thinking, right? Without even thinking. We develop a habit of, you know, frowning all the time, or rolling our eyes at people, or, you know, showing our attitude to them in different ways. And yes, you know, it's a small thing, but then what's going to happen? Within a day, there's so many such acts, such words that are accumulated. Within a week, imagine how many more there will be. Within a month, how many more there will be. Within a year, within a lifetime, how many more there will be. So we have to be careful and constantly check ourselves. Constantly, you know, examine our deeds. And if we're doing something wrong, let us admit it. Let us seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us seek forgiveness from people. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is at Dayan, we should also, you know, refrain from, you know, cheating and deceiving people. And when there is, you know, when we are faced with oppression or some kind of injustice, someone is being unfair to us, where we are the victim, right? And to live as a victim is extremely hard. Or to know that someone wronged you and got away, right? Someone oppressed you and they got away. And you see them having a good time. You see them living without any guilt. You are constantly suffering. You still have nightmares. Your body is still processing trauma, right? You are having difficulty, you know, connecting with your loved ones. you are having so much difficulty, you know, building a good relationship with people because you suffered abuse. And that abuse is still haunting you 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later. And you are, you know, struggling in so many ways because this is the reality of trauma, that it affects people in almost every aspect of their lives. People find it difficult to work. People find it difficult to study. People find it difficult to establish, you know, to maintain good relationships, to have friendships. People have difficulty trusting others. There is lifelong suffering because of the abuse that someone committed against you, right? So when you keep thinking about, you know, how someone abused you and they're living happily and you are suffering till today, this is very hard. But remind yourself that Allah is Ad-Dayyan. He has kept a day where justice will be fully established. In Surah Ibrahim, ayah 42, Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Never ever think that Allah is unaware of what the wrongdoers do, of what the oppressors do. Allah is not unaware of their aggression. Allah is not unaware of their acts of injustice. Allah is fully aware. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ. He is only delaying them. Why? For which day? لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. For the day when eyes will stare in horror. Yani that is the day when He will give them what they deserve. So don't think that right now Allah doesn't care. Absolutely He does. Absolutely He does. But there is a day, there is a time that He has fixed to give full recompense to people. So as a victim, you know, when you are suffering oppression or when you are still healing from trauma, then take comfort. Take comfort in the fact that Allah is Ad-Dayyan. Allah is Ad-Dayyan. He is the giver of recompense. Because like I mentioned earlier, that when justice will be established between goats and sheep, then what do you think about people? Because usually it's the people who have some power, right, over their victim that they manage to commit abuse, right? So just like the sheep, one has horns, the other doesn't. And just like that, there could be a person who doesn't have the means even to defend themselves, who doesn't have the means to get out of that abusive situation. They don't have the means to even understand that what is happening to them is abuse. So justice will be established on the day of judgment. So take comfort in that. It doesn't mean that you don't do anything to change your circumstances. Of course you do, but everything is not always in your control. And then when Allah is Ad-Dayyan, we should also seek forgiveness from Allah. This fear, you know, of Ad-Dayyan should make us self-aware, right? That we have so many errors, so many places where we need to fix ourselves, right? And for that, and because of that, let us not fall in despair. Let us have hope in the mercy of Allah and seek forgiveness from Him and also seek forgiveness from people. So you can add that point over here, seek forgiveness from Allah and also seek forgiveness from people. And then another important thing is that we should hold ourselves accountable. Like Umar radiallahu anhu said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. That hold yourselves accountable before you are brought to account. You know, there should be introspection. There should be self-accountability because what you're doing is not going to be forgotten. So the question is, how can we hold ourselves accountable? This concept of muhasaba, what exactly does it mean? Sometimes we think holding ourselves accountable means self-loathing, right? Or self-hate or self-criticism, being unkind with ourselves. And that is not what muhasaba is. Muhasaba, holding yourself accountable, does not mean shaming and blaming and condemning yourself. No, that's not the purpose and that's not the way. Muhasaba is to take account of yourself. And it basically involves three things. The first thing is that you check your intention. When you're doing something, when you have done something, you check your intention. So you ask yourself, lima fa'alta? Why did you do this? So ask yourself, why did I do this? So for instance, you know, when you have an argument with someone, right? Ask yourself, lima fa'alta? What was the reason? Why did I engage in that argument? Why did I have that heated conversation? Why did I insult my own child? Why did I discipline my, you know, child so harshly, so severely? Why? What's the reason? And the answer could be to satisfy my anger, to satisfy my ego, or to prove the other person wrong. And this is what? This is worshiping yourself. And this is extremely dangerous. Worshipping yourself, your own, taking your own desire as your God, this is extremely dangerous. So the first step is that you ask yourself, why did you do it? What was the intention? Sometimes, you know, we're kind to someone, you know, we even perform worship, we give some charity. We have to ask ourselves, why did I do this? Right? We are interested in learning Islamic knowledge. Ask yourself, why did I do this? Why am I doing this? Right? Check your intention, because innamal a'malu binniyat. Right? And also we learn in a hadith that whoever seeks knowledge, right? And this is sacred knowledge, knowledge which should be sought only for the face of Allah, right? Meaning purely for the sake of Allah. But this person seeks it, why? In order to make some dunya, right? Like get some fame, earn some money, etc. Then such a person will not even smell the fragrance of paradise on the day of judgment. So don't just be concerned about doing certain things. Also check your intention. Why? Lima fa'alta? Secondly, check your manner. Meaning how is it that you are doing what you're doing? What is the way in which you are performing your deeds? So the question would be, كَيْفَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا? How did you do this? So for example, after salah, right? Ask yourself, how was my salah? Rate your salah, right? 3, 4, 5, what rating would you give your salah? When it comes to fasting even, rate your fasting. Ask yourself, كيف فعلت هذا? How did you do that? How was your way? Right? How was your manner? Because if the way that we do, you know, things is not in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then, or if it's not done in an appropriate way, then such deeds, such efforts will not matter. Right? And then finally, the third thing is check your objective. So ask yourself, لِمَنْ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا? Who did you do this for? Who is it that I want to please? Because sometimes, you know, we are working so hard to do something and, we have expectations of people. And if people don't reciprocate in the way that we want, then we get annoyed and we get upset, right? So remind yourself at that time that I did this for the sake of Allah. I want reward from Allah. So we are told, وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. You do not spend except seeking the face of Allah, right? That's your ultimate goal. And people who work sincerely, they are the ones who will be rewarded by Allah. Now, the last section quickly, inshallah, how can we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this name, الدَّيَّان? And the way we do that is, there is a number of du'as. Now, there isn't any du'a which specifically mentions the name Ad-Dayyan. However, the meaning of this name, definitely it is found in, you know, several du'as. So for example, the first thing is that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the humiliation of the day of judgment. Because imagine the embarrassment, right? That We've come with a whole lot of good deeds, but then we owe this person one thing and another person another thing. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon us and to protect us from the humiliation, the disgrace, the embarrassment of that day. So we learn in a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ prayed, Allahumma la tukhzini yawm al-qiyamah. O Allah, do not humiliate me on the day of judgment. O Allah, do not embarrass me on the day of judgment. La tukhzini yawm al-qiyamah. In Surah Ali Imran, ayah 194, we learn, Rabbana wa atina ma wa'attana ala rusulik wa la tukhzina yawm al-qiyamah. Innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. That, O Allah, do not humiliate us on the day of judgment. Secondly, remind yourself of your return to Allah morning and evening. So every morning, we are taught to say this, Allahumma bika asbahna, wa bika amsayna, wa bika nahya, wa bika namutu, wa ilayka nushur. That, O Allah, with your power we have entered the morning, with your power we have entered the evening, with your power we live and we die, and to you is the return. Wa ilayka nushur. And in the evening, Allahumma bika amsayna, wa bika nahya, wa bika namutu, wa ilayka nushur. So when we say this dua in the morning and the evening, we are basically reminding ourselves that we have to return to Allah. And when we remember that we have to return to Allah, we remember our death, then remember that it is death which destroys pleasures, right? It is death which wakes us up from our heedlessness. So say this dua consciously. And then another important dua is that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah, and specifically for the deeds, the ability to do those deeds which lead to Jannah, right? So, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-Jannah wa a'udhu bika min al-Nar. Yes, in your own words, you can say, Ya Allah, I ask you for Jannah, right? And make that dua three times. Ya Allah, I ask you to protect me from hell, right? Make that dua three times. But there's another beautiful dua. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught her this dua, and this is, Allahumma inni as'aluka min al-khayri kullihi, ajilihi wa ajili, ma alimtu minhu wa ma lam a'lam. O Allah, I ask you for good, all of it, that which comes quickly and that which comes later, that which I know of and that which I don't know of. Ya Allah, I ask you for goodness. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الشَّرِّ كُلِّهِ عَاجِلِهِ وَآجِلِهِ مَا عَلِمْتُ مِنْهُ وَمَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ. And O Allah, I ask you to protect me from evil, all of it, that which comes quickly, right away, and that which comes later, that which I know of and that which I also don't know of. Ya Allah, you protect me from all evil. اللهم إني أسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك ونبيك. O Allah, I ask you for the good which your worshipper and your prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you for. That any good thing that he prayed for, Ya Allah, I ask you for the same good thing. Wa a'udhu bika min sharri ma 'adha bihi 'abduka wa nabiyyuk. And O Allah, I ask you to protect me from any evil that your worshipper, your prophet asked you, to protect him from. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. O Allah, I ask you for Jannah. وَمَا قَرَّبَ إِلَيْهَا مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ. And I ask you for all those things which can draw me near to it, which can draw me closer to Jannah, whether it is words or actions. So give me the ability to say those things and to do those things which will draw me closer to Jannah. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And O Allah, I ask you to protect me from the fire. I seek refuge with you against hellfire. وَمَا قَرَّبَ إِلَيْهَا مِنْ قَوْلٍ أَوْ عَمَلٍ. And I ask you to protect me from all those things which can draw me close to hellfire, whether it is words or it is actions. Ya Allah, protect me from doing those things. Protect me from saying such things. وَأَسْأَلُكَ أَن تَجْعَلَ كُلَّ قَضَاءٍ قَضَيْتَهُ لِخَيْرًا. And O Allah, I ask you that you make every decree that you make concerning me something good for me. That everything that you decide for me, right? Ya Allah, make it good for me. And this is so beautiful, because there are some painful things that also happen in life. Some very difficult situations, and they happen by the will of Allah. Right? Situations from which we don't know how we're going to recover. So we're asking Allah that, Ya Allah, whatever you decree for me, make it good for me. That ultimately, it is in my favor. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Jazakumullahu khayran. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.